Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Gravitate Coworking, an entrepreneurial support organization and coworking community with locations in Valley Junction and downtown Des Moines. Learn more at gravitatecoworking.com/IPR. Gravitate Coworking. Work better. Work together.
All of Iowa is bracing for a snowstorm right now, but this hour we're going to talk about flowers. Seasonal flowering plants, those special occasion gifts that bring joy but aren't meant to last. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day. A flowering plant makes a wonderful gift or a great pick-me-up during the dark, cold months of winter. Iowa State University Extension horticulturist Richard Giron will be here, along with Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. We'll talk about forced bulbs, shamrocks, Easter lilies, and many other beautiful but fleeting blooms. Cindy and Richard will also answer your questions. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and January is starting to act a little bit more like January. We have at least a couple of months left of winter to get through, and it might be a good time for a pick-me-up to help us get through. Last Horticulture Day, we talked about flowering houseplants that we can keep, care for, and coax into bloom. Today, we're going to talk about those beautiful flowering plants that we bring into our homes or give as gifts, but really aren't meant to last. Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, is here today. Hello, Cindy.
Good morning.
And Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, is here. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
And I think that this is an important conversation to have because I think a lot of people get these beautiful plants and they just don't want to let them go.
No, they're so pretty when they're blooming. Why would you want to let them go?
and they stay green after for a while.
They do. They stay green after they're done blooming, but some of them are really hard to get to rebloom again and just almost not worth it.
All right. So we need to just embrace the beauty of these plants, know that we're supporting people who grow plants when we buy them and enjoy them. Let's talk about some of your favorites.
One of my favorites this time of year are cyclamen. I love that kind of reflex back petal in the really bright reds and pinks and white colors. And they have that, you know, perfect little heart-shaped leaf that's kind of mottled. And that's the hardest one for me to kind of let go. Because it is a nice looking plant even after it's done blooming. But it requires a dormant period, usually during the summer, induced by drought, and then half the time it doesn't come out of the dormant period for most homeowners. So it's a lot of time and effort for something that's not a sure thing.
Have you tried that?
I have, and I was not very successful because it still needs this kind of humid environment, and it kind of goes dormant when it's warm, and then you've got to be really aware when it's ready to come back out and start watering it again, and I just wasn't aware enough.
All right, so this is something definitely to leave to people with greenhouses and timed lights and
all
kinds of schedules available to them. The cyclamen, it comes in a lot of different colors, doesn't it?
Yeah, purple, pink, red, white, and they often have these kind of gradations, so sometimes they have a darker eye or center to the bloom. It's a very, very cheery plant. They're usually pretty small, so they're perfect on a tabletop or a desktop or a countertop. And the blooms usually last for, you know, easily 3-4 weeks. So it's a nice one to have to kind of lift your mood in the winter. And you'll see it now through Valentine's Day. It's a really popular Valentine's Day.
Well, you mentioned that they do tend to be pretty small. Is that because it's really in their first season that greenhouses aren't going to keep them long term and try to get them bigger?
No, the plant is usually typically a fairly small plant. So I have seen some that are 6 or 8 inch pots, but that are multiple years old. But usually they're not very old, and they tend to stay a little on the small side.
All right, and again, a great gift plant, something that we see often for get well flowers and things like that.
Right.
All right. How about calancho? That's on your list too.
Calancho is on the list, and it's really popular right now because it's a succulent. There are the succulent type calanchos, And then there's the blooming type calanchos that still have kind of the succulent type leaves. Calanchos or calanchoe, some people call them calanchoe, have, you know, really bright flowers, the yellow, the orange, the pink, the red, the purple, single or double forms. And it looks really good, these tiny flowers with these dark green kind of succulent type leaves.
And you mentioned that they're very popular right now because they're succulents. Why would that be?
Succulents are hugely popular with people who grow houseplants right now. So,
They're having a moment.
They're having a moment. Or my students seem to love the succulents. So anything that has a succulent type leaf, they're kind of gaga over at the moment. So, which is great because usually that succulent type leaf usually means or tells you that it doesn't need quite as much water. And calancho is one of those that can dry out a little bit between waterings and still do really well indoors.
And how long do those blooms tend to last?
This one tends to bloom, once again, for about a month. Sometimes you can cut back the blooms, and if it's getting enough light for like a long day's length of light, it may send up a few repeat blooms as well. This is probably one of the easier seasonal houseplants to try to get to rebloom. Because it may happen. It usually doesn't happen. Usually you don't keep them for 2 years or 3 years and kind of keep them into bloom. But you can get sometimes a rebloom or a reflush of blooms right after you've deadheaded the first flush.
All right. And even if this is something that's not going to last, I mean, when you talk about blooms lasting for a month or so, it's such a great option instead of cut flowers.
Right. It lasts a lot longer than that vase of cut flowers at Valentine's Day.
All right. So
just hint, hint to everyone.
Right. And maybe the price doesn't get quite as inflated either.
True.
We'll see. All right. How about gloxinia?
Ooh, this is a really cool one. So this one has, it's related to African violet. So it has, but it's oversized in every aspect. It has, you know, really large pubescent or fuzzy leaves or kind of velvety leaves. It's got this trumpet-shaped flower, usually very dark colors like burgundy or purple, and they're velvety as well. And it has this kind of ring of or cluster of these trumpet-shaped flowers in the center. So very stunning, very elegant, you know, attracts quite a lot of attention. Also a nice one to have on a tabletop. All of these do really well in that kind of bright indirect light. And gloxinia, too, likes that kind of evenly moist soils. It's kind of the different than the calancho. So you don't let it dry out quite as much in between waterings. And it, too, will bloom for you easily 3 weeks. And if it's kept cool on the cool side, it should go a little bit longer.
Not hard to do this time of year.
Not hard to do.
The blossoms are so striking. I mean, some of them look kind of like pansies. Some of them look almost like roses.
They are amazing, and they're fairly large in comparison to all the other kind of flowering plants that we have. They don't have a fragrance. That's the only kind of limiting factor, but they are very striking, very rich-looking flowers.
All right, now I'm going to make you say the next plant on your list because I don't know how to say it.
Cineraria?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good there.
Good job.
I didn't know if it was cineraria or calceolaria.
You can say that one too later.
Cineraria is a lot of fun. This is a daisy plant, a daisy-like flower, and it comes in a stunning array of kind of blue colors. So light blue, kind of dark blue, and almost true blue colors.
Which is rare.
Very rare in the plant world. To have kind of a good true blue. And then there's purples and pinks and sometimes lighter or darker color eyes. But, you know, one plant has just like covered in, you know, 100 or so blooms of these really bright cheery blooms. And it's a fun one to have. It too needs to dry out just a little bit between waterings. And for best bloom longevity, it needs to be at about that 60 degree temperature.
And they look, they're part of the daisy family, right?
They are in beautiful. The Asteraceae family, but that's a huge family. So, yeah, but think daisies and really impossible to get this one to rebloom.
All right. Well, it's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous, especially for someone with a little bit of a purple fixation, which I know you
Yeah,
have.
I do. I do have purple and blue. I like that. I like the blue one there, too. And Cineraria, you know, is kind of close to Cindy. So, Cineraria.
All right. Well, and something else that you see in stores all the time this time of year, which I love to see, are the forced bulbs. And of course, you can force bulbs yourself. You can give them away as presents. It's too late to start that process.
It is.
Right now. But again, I mean, you bring home this beautiful pot of forced tulips or daffodils. Mm-hmm. It's going to last a while, but there's nothing to be done with them afterward, right?
Not much. I have tried, and sometimes I'm successful in replanting those daffodils or crocus back out into the landscape in spring. But generally, when this blooms, you get that gorgeous bloom for, once again, about a month, maybe 2 weeks, depending on how hot your house is. The cooler your house is, usually the longer they last. And then if you want to do something with those bulbs later, you really have to keep the foliage alive for as long as possible and fertilize. And then you plant the bulbs outside kind of later in spring, or let them dry and plant them in the fall. The problem is, in planting them, those bulbs are a little screwed up on timing rise. So they may or may not bloom the following year, or may not bloom well. And daffodils and crocus are about the only ones that usually do any kind of blooming on a regular time. Tulips usually don't make it at all. So I usually just pitch the whole thing. They're cheap enough so that I can, and I have enough bulbs planted in my landscape, so I'm okay.
All right. Good for the compost bin.
All
right, let's talk about, is it primula?
Primula.
Primula,
so
okay.
It's a primrose is the common name. This one, too, comes in a lot of different colors. And they kind of look like, to me, these little kid drawings of flowers. So they're very simple, sometimes with a white outline to the petals. Sometimes the flower colors are really bright. Sometimes they're pastel colors. There's even kind of a dark burgundy, almost black, on this one.
Very, so they're your stereotypical flowers, is what you're saying?
Yeah, that kind of typical rounded petal with a, you know, darker center. So very simple-looking flowers, but very bright and cheery. They're kind of a medium green leaf. They're also nice indoors. They like the cooler weather. They like to dry out a little bit between waterings. And there are some primulas that you can plant outside in other areas of the country. Most of what we purchase at a garden center or grocery store or florist is not hardy in Iowa.
All right. Well, and speaking of things that you want to be hardy but may not be if you buy them in the wintertime, azaleas sometimes are just so stunning this time of year.
Yeah.
And we really, really want to be able to plant those outside.
Right. And you really have to. I mean, in other parts of the country where you can, they get that winter chill that they need to bloom again next year. But most of them in Iowa, they're not hardy enough. They're not the hardy types of azaleas, but fantastic flowers for that temporary type of a houseplant, really bright, brilliant pinks, and likes to stay a little on the moist side and keep it cool. And it looks cheery for, like I said, over a month.
Yeah, which that really can brighten up the house this time of year. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. It is Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. We're talking about some of those beautiful blooming plants that we tend to give as gifts or buy for ourselves as a little pick-me-up this time of year, but really aren't meant to last throughout the seasons. With me, Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. They will also answer your questions. 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Gravitate Coworking, an entrepreneurial support organization and coworking community with locations in Valley Junction and downtown Des Moines. Learn more at gravitatecoworking.com/IPR. Gravitate Coworking. Work better. Work together.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today on Talk of Iowa, and you are welcome to join the conversation. Give us a call with your questions, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Maybe you're starting to dream about that spring garden and you have some questions about things you'd like to plant, or you're focused on houseplants right now. Whatever your question, 866-780-9100 or talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org.
With me, Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. And we're going to keep chugging through this list of some of those beautiful flowering plants that we love to buy this time of year, but probably shouldn't keep long term.
Right.
And I told you you were going to get to say pocketbook plant, the scientific name again yourself.
It is a fun one. It's called Calceolaria. And it's called pocketbook plant actually does a better job of describing the flower because this flower has a little lip that kind of comes over a lot like a purse or a little pocket. And it's usually very fun colors on this one. Sometimes very fall colors, kind of orange and kind of bronze and red. And they're usually spotted. So it's a very interesting seasonal houseplant. And a little harder to find this time of year.
I was just going to say, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it.
But it's a fun one to have because it's so different. It's so different than anything else. But also fairly easy to care for. Let it dry out a little bit between waterings. And then, of course, getting it to rebloom again is close to impossible. So pitch it goes onto the compost pile. And then if you find a source for it, then you know where to go back again next year.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And I'm sure your local florist or
yes.
nursery store would probably order it for you well. They're eager to do that kind of thing. All right. And I'm guessing the next one is probably part of the daisy family. Am I right? Or am I wrong? I'm going on the Gerbera.
The Gerbera daisy is a part of the daisy family. Also very brightly colored flowers. These are really big flowers. And you've seen Gerber if you've seen it as a cut flower.
Mm-hmm. And
sometimes dark centers, sometimes lighter centers, sometimes doubles.
And they're a very, very popular cut flower. So if you get them while they're still growing, they'll last a little longer, right?
They will last a little longer, especially if you get them in bud. And this is there's nothing that will bring a smile to your face like a Gerber daisy. So it's a lot of fun to grow. Another one that needs to dry out a little bit between waterings. And in other areas of the country, you could plant it outside and get it to rebloom. But here it's slated for the compost pile. Yeah.
All right. And what kind of varieties of colors can you find actually potted?
Potted, you can typically find almost any color. So you'll see a lot of the reds, the yellows, the oranges, and the pinks. But there's also purples and dark burgundies and kind of peachy colors and kind of whites. You've got a really wide range in the potted Gerbers, just like you do as a cut flower.
866-780-9100 is the number to call with your questions. And we have Jim on the line in Mason City. Hi, Jim.
Well, good day.
What would you like to talk
about? My question, devil's beggar tick.
Okay, devil's beggar ticks. This is a flowering plant?
Well, it says it is. It's a flowering plant in the aster family.
Devil's
beggar ticks. All right, and the scientific name you said is Biden's
frondosa? Right.
Frondosa, yeah.
Yeah, it's a Biden's daisy, which is a little yellow daisy, usually a kind of a yellow or kind of creamy color daisy. Is this a houseplant that you've found?
No, it sticks all over my dogs, and I just want to know there's another one. This is the nickname of stick tights. But what are those little itty bitty ones that they look like almost like a bug they get on your dogs, you know?
Right. There are a lot of little flowers. And so Biden's is a type of daisy. And he's talking about the fruit that forms afterwards because these flowers are usually pretty insignificant. And the little fruit that forms or the seed pod has this Velcro sticky like that kind of a
fix burr. It. Kind
yeah,
of,
it's
yeah.
a burr. It's a, yeah. like a cockaburra. Yeah. And it just fixes itself to any kind of clothing or the hair of the dogs. And there's a couple of different types of plants that do this, but and I don't know their scientific names or even their common names. We just call them all burrs or stick tights or something. Yeah, stick tights. And you have to find them earlier in the season or try and remove them before that kind of seed starts to form because they're also really good at germinating again and spreading. So that's the best way to try and control it, which sometimes isn't possible, I'm afraid. Okay. At least not realistically. So I'm sorry, you're going to need a good brush for your dog.
Yeah, we all do. Mm-hmm. Jim, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Verna is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Verna.
Hi. I have inherited a calla lily from my supervisor, and it was dying when she brought it to me, and I've repotted it and, you know, tried to put it in the dark, and I can't get those bulbs to grow again. Should I throw it out?
It is another hard one to kind of overwinter well. Some tricks with calla lilies is they like to be a little on the moist or wet side, even a little moist and wet when they're dormant. So they don't like totally drying out like some other bulbs when they go dormant. So this is one that might go dormant in the winter. Put it in a kind of a cool basement, water it occasionally, and then, you know, bring it out in March and see if it starts to, you know, initiate some new buds with the light. And keep your fingers crossed, because it is kind of temperamental as well. Fortunately, you can buy calla lily bulbs or those tubers in the spring or mail order, so that you can have more that you can put out in your garden every spring. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'll just use her pot and buy some bulbs and put in there. These bulbs don't look well at all.
Oh.
It's in my drawer and it's in the dark.
Yeah. Well, I give you permission to toss it so that you can buy new ones for next
year.
Start
all over again.
New colors. So.
Yeah. It was a gift from her husband. She didn't want to throw them out.
Oh.
But I don't have a problem with it.
Right. Sometimes you can just help a friend that way.
Good job.
Help them say goodbye.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Verna. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We are today talking about some of those flowering plants that aren't meant to last very long. But of course, Richard and Cindy will answer your questions about any of the plants in your life or landscape. 866-780-9100. And I think we maybe need to do a little bit of a psychology program, because we hear that over and over and over again. People feel so guilty letting go of a plant.
Right. It is kind of hard to let go, but I often look at it, and that means there's new space for something new. So, and sometimes it's time to let go. Some things aren't meant to last forever. So try and take it from that positive outlook that maybe you can have something new next time.
All right. Well, and I love Verna helping her supervisor let go. Maybe we all need that friend.
I can be that friend. So, yes, I can pitch anything.
All right. Although Kimberly here has a story that it just feeds the problem. She says, thanks. I found a peppermint azalea in my father's trash. I was told by gardeners it would not come back. It did almost a year later, a beautiful blessing. That's the kind of thing that keeps us going, isn't it?
It is. And that's really kind of rare as far as a houseplant. And that's a beautiful azalea. So it must have gotten some cooler weather for it to kind of come back. And
that time spent in the trash might have been the perfect amount of time that it needed.
That may have been the perfect amount of time. And it may be something that this is a really easy type of azalea that maybe we should try more. So
right.
It could change our minds.
866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And let's talk about a few more of these beautiful plants that we love to buy. And Richard, you added to the list the Martha Washington geranium. Tell me about that one.
Well, you typically see that more around Mother's Day. And it has some very, very unusual flower colors for geraniums. They tend to be very striking, pinks and reds. A little bit of kind of blackish in some of them. They bloom quite well for maybe about a month or so, but they really don't do well outdoors. They don't like our humid summers, hot summers, so it's more of a temporary plant. You just keep them inside, and they'll bloom nicely for about a month. Keep them well watered, and then after they're done, you can plant them outside, but don't really expect much.
All right. And I'm sure, given that we're buying them around Mother's Day, a lot of people probably get fooled into thinking, oh, this will be great outside.
Right, right. But it's not the same geranium at all. It just doesn't like the hot, humid weather. It will basically grow a little bit, but it really won't bloom again.
All right. Unfortunately. And do you know why they're called the Martha Washington geraniums?
I'm not sure on that.
Yeah, I think the first cultivar that was really popular was named after Martha Washington. And they're still called that today, even though I know they're not that cultivar anymore. They're also called regal geraniums as well. So, yeah. But, yeah, that's a really popular cultivar at one time, probably more than 100 years ago.
All right. Well, and nice to think of one of our founding mothers on Mother's Day as well. Something that we often see this time of year in stores, or at least getting to be this time of year. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm thinking about March. But a lot of us love to buy shamrocks for around St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. And they're beautiful and they're fun. They're not meant to stick around?
Not always. There are a lot of different types of shamrocks out there. So, and most of them have kind of a tuberous root system that does require a dormancy after it's done blooming and growing well. So that's the first hurdle. So you enjoy them and, the purple foliage or the green foliage and their little cheery kind of whitish or lavender color flowers. But if they start to kind of go down after that as it starts to heat up, because they like it a little on the cool side, that means that they need that dormant period. And usually that dormant period lasts for a couple of months, and it has to require certain conditions, and then they might come back in the fall. But it's tricky. So this is a genus of many different species, so there are other oxalis that may be a little bit easier to care for as a houseplant. But they never really are very full as a houseplant for very long periods.
All right. So many houseplants, the dormant period just doesn't work with the way that we live.
No, and this is, so the houseplants that do really well indoors for long periods are those that are kind of tropical houseplants that don't need that dormant period.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. Nancy is on the line in Davenport. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
Well, I have two jasmine plants that I had outside on the front step this summer, and they were just beautiful and really growing. And I brought them in for the winter, and they're losing all of their leaves and not looking too great now. So they are in a well-lit area by the window, and there is a furnace outlet right there, so they're getting some warm heat, but I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong.
Well, they probably, even outdoors, they probably produce leaves that were better outdoors, and even when you brought them indoors, there's not enough light, so they're probably cutting a few losses and getting rid of the leaves that aren't as productive. That's not too much to worry about as long as they don't lose all of their leaves. So as long as they're maintaining, that's pretty good. You are right on track. They like it warm. They like it a little on the warm side. They also like really well-lit location. So make sure you keep it in that kind of window. You might even want to think about adding some supplemental light to that one as well. They don't like it super wet, so let them dry out a little bit between waterings. And I would inspect them really carefully for insects because they are a magnet for certain kind of insects or pests. And then you keep your fingers crossed because, it's sometimes tricky to get them to survive. And this is one of those houseplants we try and keep it indoors and surviving through the winter so that we can take it back outside
spring.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Do you think I should give them any type of fertilizer or plant food?
I wouldn't because that's just encouraging a lot of growth that it may not be able to support right now. So I would wait to fertilize it until right before I'm going to put it outside, say in May or June.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much for your help.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Nancy. 866-780-9100. Monty is on the line in Gowrie. Hi, Monty.
Imagine that. I was responding to the conversation about shamrock. A friend gave me a potted one for a housewarming gift about 20 years ago.
Wow.
And since then, I've been taking it in the winter in pots. And it goes dormant, and then it sprouts up again, and I get flowers in the early spring, and then I put them outside in shady areas, and they mm-hmm. make a nice ground cover with their green leaves and their little white flowers. It's like an interesting thing in the shade where nothing else will grow.
Right. Perfect.
I mix that with some Wandering Jew.
Oh, nice.
So the combination is nice. So I was just passing that along.
No, and you've got it down. You've got that dormancy period, and you kind of figured out how to work around it. That's the hard part for most homeowners, is because when something goes dormant, we think it's dead, and then we pitch it. So even if it's not.
All right, Monty, thanks a lot for your call, and well done. Mm-hmm. Here's a question from Katie. She calls herself a British gardener in Iowa. Oh. She says, I didn't manage to get bulbs in the ground in the fall. Can I plant them as soon as possible in the spring? What do you recommend?
Boy, the options are few. I think if they are still in good shape, still solid and firm, that I think if they're like tulip bulbs and daffodil bulbs, I would go ahead and pot them and then water them in nicely and then put them in a cool place, like the refrigerator if you have a room in there, and because they need to be exposed to cool temperatures for 12 to 14 weeks in order to bloom. That's imperative. Putting them in the ground directly in the spring is just not going to work. So they could pot them up and then try to force them. If they did that, they'd have to stay basically in that cool place through the rest of January, February, into March. They could take them out possibly in late March and see what happens. If they do come up, then I would try to keep the daffodils because they can be forced and planted outside again. So if they come up, if they don't bloom well, I would try to keep the plants, let them die back, and then put them in the ground directly.
All right, what if she put them in pots and just put them outside? Is that too cold?
And she would probably have to protect that root system, so she'd have to dig them into the ground.
Which is not easy.
Which is not easy right now. Or really do some nice insulation to kind of protect them.
All right, we have to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. With me, Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Gravitate Coworking, an entrepreneurial support organization and coworking community with locations in Valley Junction and downtown Des Moines. Learn more at gravitatecoworking.com/IPR. Gravitate Coworking. Work better. Work together.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and you are welcome to join the conversation with your questions about the plants in your life or landscape. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me, Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and Richard Giron, ISU Extension Horticulture Specialist. And let's do a couple of email questions here. This one's from Linda. She says, I have an Althea, Rose of Sharon bush, that's about 20 years old. Over the years, it's gotten very leggy. Some of the main branches have also broken off, so it's not only leggy, it's not very shapely anymore. Last summer, it only bloomed at the very top. Overall, it looks very scraggly and not very happy. My question is, a few years ago, I was able to cut my spirea bushes to the ground and they came back like gangbusters. Can I cut back the Rose of Sharon bush with success? Will it come back or will that be the final nail in its coffin?
You can prune it, but I would not prune it back heavily. I would say maybe cut it back by maybe a third or so. The overall size would be fine. This is a little bit more temperamental plant. Spireas are very, very tough. The hibiscus is not nearly as tough. So I would say probably maybe a third, probably sometime in late March, early April.
All right. And should she then trim it every year until she gets it to look like it wants, or is once enough when something's this temperamental?
Well, I would assume that would be enough, hopefully. But if they need to, they could. It's not going to be a small plant. It's not a small plant at maturity. So I wouldn't try to make it something that it isn't, but they could prune it every year if they needed to.
All right. And then she'll have new growth and blossoms lower down,
right.
Hopefully?
Well, hopefully the plant will be smaller. It's not going to be just on the top, but it is a finicky plant, and sometimes winter can affect the bloom too. So don't try to prune it back too heavily.
All right, here's a question from Joyce. What is the blue or maybe purple roadside plant used by the DOT? It has small blooms in July, August timeframe, possibly chicory?
Yeah, chicory is planted. I see that along the roadsides. There's also a tradescantia or spiderwort that kind of has blue flowers that you might see in kind of wet areas along the roadsides. But right up against the the roadsides,
chicory.
Yeah, it's probably, you know, in that dry area is chicory. And it blooms for a really long time, but
it's very pretty.
It's very pretty, but it reseeds with a vengeance.
It's very salt tolerant.
Yes.
It tolerates mowing near the near the road. So it's very well adapted to that site.
But I hear a warning in what you're saying as well.
It's great on the roadsides. It may not be so well liked in your landscape.
So if you really love it, you'll get a lot of it.
It's kind of a pretty weed, kind of, basically.
Right. I like pretty weeds.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. 866-780-9100. You can email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Alice is on the line in Cascade. Hi, Alice.
Hello.
Hi. What's your question?
Hi, I have a mandevilla. I brought it in this year. I had it in last summer and last year, and it came out, bloomed. Mm-hmm. This year I brought it in, and I'm hoping to put it out again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sending out these long vining things. It's in the window. It likes to crawl up the curtain poles and all around. Should I trim that back, or should I just let it keep vining? I mean, it's about, 5 feet out now in some of these vines.
Yeah. It is a vining plant, so you can plant it outside on a trellis, and it'll kind of vine up and bloom.
Right.
It's a little hard to kind of keep that vining habit indoors, so you can prune it back. I wouldn't prune it back more than half, particularly this time of year, because you want to make sure that it has plenty of foliage and plenty of light and water so that it does well before you put it outside in the spring.
It's in a window. Yeah, it's doing real well. It's in a window. I just wonder if it would be better to trim it back, or is it better to let it keep going?
Oh, you can trim it back and it'll be fine. It won't miss a beat. It'll start sending up more new shoots. So,
About feeding, should I feed it at all until, when should I start feeding it?
Yeah, I would wait until about April before I started feeding it again. The more food you give it now, the more new shoots you're going to get this winter. So I would hold off for another 2 or 3 months before you start the fertilizer.
Okay, and then keep it kind of on the dry side, right?
Keep it on the dry side, but let the top dry out before you water. And when you water, water well so that you don't have to water as often.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your assistance there.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Alice. And mandevilla, that's something a lot of people just buy annually, right?
It is. It's kind of an annual vine that we put outside on a small trellis. Sometimes there's some colors that we really like, and we try and bring it indoors over the winter. And I've done this one before. They look a little rough by the end of the winter, but it's a tough enough plant that you can take out in the spring. And it will look fantastic by, you know, mid to late summer again.
So. All right. So if you're willing to invest the time and the space, you can do it. 866-780-9100. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Here's a question from Lynn in Iowa County. Does sticking matches in the soil of houseplants do any good to keep bugs away? Blurbs on the internet say this keeps pests away.
Oh, I like this one. I haven't heard
this
one. Sounds
great, but I would say no.
I haven't heard this one before.
It's new. Good.
Yeah. No, I haven't heard this one. No, I don't know that it would work at all. No.
All right. And definitely not lit matches.
Yeah.
It's a really bad idea.
Definitely not.
All right. Sorry, Lynn. Sometimes when it sounds too good to be true, it is. All right. Here's a question from Julia. We received a potted plant fern from a funeral and set it on the patio through the summer, brought it in last fall, and kept thinking we had fruit flies. Further investigation reveals that they are the gnats.
Fungus gnats.
Okay. Have spread diatomaceous earth all over the soil for 3 days, and they seem to be gone. Please advise on what to do with the soil. Should we remove as much as possible, replace the top layer with activated charcoal and water from below and mist leaves, or is it time to get rid of it all?
Well, what I would try to do is water properly, thoroughly when you do so, but then before you water again, let the potting soil kind of dry out nicely if you can. ferns do like an evenly moist soil, but when you see these fungus gnats, they're typically a sign that you're keeping the potting soil a little bit too wet, because the immature stage feeds on that rotting organic matter in the potting soil. And if you keep it too wet, there's a lot of food for the insect to feed on. So typically the best way to cope with that is to water well when you do so, let it dry out a little bit before you water again. And in doing that, you create an environment that's less favorable for the insect. And usually they kind of go away gradually, slowly.
All right. What if they have other houseplants nearby? Is this kind of an infestation that can spread?
It can. Again, especially if you overwater plants, because that's what they like, is that wet, rotting organic matter. So the key there is to water well when you do so, and then let them dry out some. Another thing that you might want to do possibly is take a knife and just kind of work up the upper half inch of the potting soil so it kind of dries out faster after watering.
All right. And you just do that with all of your plants.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email questions to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Here is a question from Bob in Ames. We moved a large geranium from our garden indoors for the winter. Although healthy, it is overgrown but not flowering. Can I cut it back and keep it in a cool but dark area until spring?
What I would do is just kind of keep it on the dry side, maybe water every 2 weeks or so, just kind of keep it alive. And then I would take that plant in March and prune it back heavily. Cut it back by maybe half, possibly two-thirds, and then it'll start to grow again. And then by May, you should have a nice plant to set outside.
All right. And one flowering plant we haven't talked about yet that's going to show up here in a couple of months, maybe 3 months, is the Easter lily. That's something we love to bring into our homes. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the Easter lily.
Well, the Easter lily has that beautiful white trumpet-shaped flower, and it is gifted with this fantastic scent. So it also brings a wonderful fragrance in as well.
If you like the scent.
If you like the scent.
A little bit controversial.
Right. It can be overwhelming. It can be very overwhelming. So you have to kind of be aware. It's a typical lily. It's also a pure white color. Lilies come in other colors, but this particular lily is the pure white one. And it's a fairly easy one to have indoors, because this is one you can actually plant outdoors in the summer, spring or summer after it's done. So when we have Easter, that's a little bit later, you have to keep it alive for about a month, and then you can take that and plant it outside in kind of a part sun or full sun location. And the plant will reestablish, the bulb will reestablish, and the next year you could get blooms, the same blooms again. It doesn't bloom for Easter, because it's been scheduled in a greenhouse and timed and figured out. It's amazing what greenhouse growers go through to get that thing to bloom for Easter. But it will bloom in summer, sometime in summer. And it's still that, you know, perfect white flower with that wonderful fragrance.
All right. So you can't keep it inside and get it back into blossom.
Not easy at all, because it's another one that requires a winter dormancy. So that's a little hard to kind of come by.
All right. And Easter's, I think, April 23rd or so this year. So that actually times out quite nicely hopefully with some nice spring weather.
So by the end of May, you can have that one, or middle or end of May, you can plant that out in your garden and let Mother Nature take care of it. It's not the longest lived of bulbs, so don't expect it to be there, you know, 20 years from now. But I think if you can get 2 or 3 good years of blooming afterwards, that's a houseplant that's really performed.
Okay. That makes it an even more attractive purchase. 866-780-9100 is the number to call with your questions. We've got room for a couple more calls yet this hour. 866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Patricia is on the line in northern Missouri. Hi, Patricia.
Good morning. I first wanted to say thank you so much for your show every week. It's very enlightening, and in this time of troubled politics and the shutdown, it's a real blessing to have someone talking about something like gardening and flowers and something that uplifts our spirits.
Well, thank
so
you.
So I appreciate that. I just want to make a quick comment about the shamrock plant. Mm-hmm. I have a beautiful one that's the dark purple foliage with the light whitish, purple, light lavender, whitish flowers.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it for about 3 years, and it's doing wonderfully. I've kept it indoors in a pot where it gets indirect and some direct sunlight, actually, near the window in the living room, and it's just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I keep having to put a bigger pot on it. Right now, I've kept it in the same pot about the last year and a half.
Right, and does it go dormant every year, or does it just seem to maintain?
No, it doesn't even go dormant. It just keeps blooming.
Yeah, there are some species of oxalis that need that dormancy, and then there are some that tend to be a better houseplant. So it sounds like you got a really good one. So that's a very easy to care for typical houseplant when it doesn't require that dormant period.
I just love it, and it's so beautiful, and it looks fragile, and I just love it. I had one really quick question also about a tropical plant that I have that has a little bit of scale on it. Mm. It's got these little scales. I've got it quarantined in the kitchen by itself, and it still grows. It still puts out new bloom, new shoots. That these little scales are there, and I don't know what to do about them. I've tried scraping them off with my fingernail, and I'd love some suggestions for that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, they're very hard to control in that these insects have a protective covering or shell, and so your typical contact insecticides do not work because they can't penetrate that shell. So one option is to kind of peel them off with your thumbnail. Another option is to apply insecticidal soap. And do that on a regular basis because these insects do produce offspring. And when they first appear, the offspring do not have this protective cover. And so if you're spraying insecticidal soap, that is strong enough to kill them before that they develop that protective shell. So you have to keep on doing it because you're never quite sure when they're producing the offspring. So this is basically going to be maybe 2 months, maybe 3 months, where you might do it every week or 10 days. So it does require persistence.
All right. Patricia, thank you so much for your call. 866-780-9100. Felix is on the line next in Mason City. Hi, Felix.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. What's your question?
I was just wondering, I have a peace lily I've had for about 2 years, and I was wondering what's the best way to care for it, because every once in a while the leaves get brown.
Yeah, peace lilies are actually a pretty tough houseplant. They have a really nice white handkerchief-like bloom, and if they're getting enough light, they will bloom well for you. They typically like indirect light, bright indirect light, and they typically like fairly consistent moisture. This is one of those plants that will let you know when it needs to be watered because it will wilt, and then you water it and it perks right back up. The problem with the watering is if it's inconsistent enough or it has a little maybe too much salt in it from a water softener, you kind of get the brown edges to the leaves if you go through that. So try to look for kind of consistently watering it, giving it plenty of light. And if you use softened water, I would say every third or fourth time, use another water source to leach out any excess salts that might be in the soil. And it should be good. It's one that is very long-lived and a nice one to have.
All right, thank you. Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Felix. And we are nearly out of time, but as we head into this very, very cold, snowy period, obviously blooming plants are a wonderful thing to brighten things up. But if we have a lot of houseplants, is that a risk factor if they're close to windows when things get really crazy cold in January?
If they're touching a window, that can be a risk factor. If you have a really drafty window and it stays a little cold, because if it gets down below 50 degrees, some of these tropical plants can be injured.
Or near a door where you open the door, it gets very cold inside. So
We can equally get just as much damage if they're on top of a vent or a radiator that's, you know, really working hard this time of year and it's staying too hot. So watch for those kind of cold and hot drafts.
All right. Cold drafts are a little more of a risk in my house this time of year, but I'll keep my eyes open for both. Cindy Haynes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. Richard Giron, thank you.
You're welcome.
Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and we will be back again with Horticulture Day in 2 weeks, every other week during the winter months. We'll be back to weekly Hort Days beginning in March. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Dennis Reese, Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Caitlin Harrop. We had production assistance today from Lulu Dewey and technical support from Nick Brinks. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.